Welcome back, everybody, to Bridging the Geekdoms, the podcast that dives into all things in pop culture, such as movie, comics, television, and video games, and a bunch of other stuff. I'm your host, Robert Slavinsky, and with me, as always, is...
Your boy.
Colton Bird.
What it do?
So, hopefully everybody is doing swell on this first week of March, first full week of March.
We just got buffeted with storm,
with a snowstorm, yeah. Which it's pretty much all melted down here already. How is the mountain?
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, the roads are clear, but it's still snow covered.
Yeah, I just, whenever I got home last night, I was like, I'm just staying in, and it took until like 8 o'clock at night for it actually to do anything.
Yeah.
I was like, this is ridiculous, and we're calling for it at like noon.
Yeah, and it took like... eight extra hours to come in. I was like, whatever. I mean, I'm home now, so I don't care.
I was like, it was snowing. It just wasn't laying. It wasn't. Yeah. It was just like, hey, what's up? So that was kind of annoying. I was like, man, I could have gone and done stuff. I could have gone to the movie. Like, I wanted to go to see a movie, but I didn't want to chance it if it got bad.
Yeah.
And yeah. But
you did see some movies.
I did. I sat home and didn't see. Well, I watched a movie, but sat at home and watched almost 10 hours of The Umbrella Academy, and I also watched Black Mirror. Bandersnatch. All right. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But as always, like we do at the beginning of every week, is first we say, hey.
Hi.
How's it going? And what you been up to, Colton?
What have I been up to? I don't think I've done anything. No, I haven't. Just been busy. I've been real busy doing stuff and things. I haven't done any. I haven't watched any TV.
No movies, no TV, no video games.
No, I haven't had time for anything. I'm real sad about it, though. Get back to that turd that is Spider-Man.
I can't believe you don't like that game.
Outside of the web-slinging, I don't care for it.
I mean, the story isn't fantastic, but it's enjoyable. It's an enjoyable story.
Yeah, it's just the cutscenes are so static that I can't.
And
I just can't.
It's weird. It's weird, folks. This is probably the first time this has ever happened where a PlayStation 4 or PlayStation game in general I like and somebody else doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. Like, it's crazy. And I even like Spider-Man. He's my favorite Marvel character.
Yeah.
It's a lackluster game.
Well, I mean, you haven't gotten to the extra content, maybe that helps.
I don't know. That's just a game that's riddled with collectibles because they didn't know how to make a real game.
Wow.
That's what it is. Yeah. And you can even testify
to
that.
Yeah, I mean, because some of that stuff just got annoying to me.
Yeah, like it's they didn't know how to make a real game, so we'll just throw 75,000 collectibles. Yeah. It's like Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm. Mm.
Even though that was a good game.
Yeah.
But I haven't really done anything. Still have failed to see How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah, I didn't get to see that yet. I think my kids went today. I think they went today to go see it, so they're lucky. I am taking my kids out next weekend to see a movie. I am seeing a movie next weekend. I might just take them to go see Captain Marvel.
YOLA.
They might like it. It's a Marvel movie, and they're excited about Endgame, so maybe they will want to see that. That way I don't have to wait until...
Yeah, Monday, Sunday, or Monday.
See it. Only if they want to. If they don't want to see it, I'm not going to force them to go...
That's pretty much the boat I'm in.
Yeah.
Because Nicole's birthday is Friday. So I'm like, I wouldn't mind seeing it, but it's your birthday. So if you want to see it, we'll go see it. If not, whatever. I'll see it Saturday by myself. So.
Yeah.
And we're doing her birthday stuff Thursday. So it's like,
do what you do.
Yeah. Sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah.
If not, I'll just sit in a movie theater all day. Or I'll try to leave early Saturday and then go Sunday to see it or something. I see How to Train Your Dragon and Captain Marvel.
Yeah. I also haven't seen Alita. I still want to see Alita. Still How to Train Your Dragon. Those are the two big ones that I still need to go and see at some point. So I'm hoping not this weekend, but the following weekend, I'm probably going to make that a priority. That's movie weekend. I'm going to see 2, 3, 4 movies maybe that weekend.
Yeah, you're pretty far behind.
Yeah.
Slip.
From what I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
4-3 movies behind on what I want to see. If I miss Captain Marvel, then I'll be 4 movies behind. So I'll have to catch up. You know, I can't remember what comes out next week after Captain Marvel, but I want to be caught up before Shazam comes out next month. I just want to make sure I'm caught up by then.
See, I'm going to try to talk Nicole into seeing Pet Sematary and Shazam in one day.
Oh, that's next month too, huh?
Yeah. They're the same day, April 5th. It's my birthday.
Jeez.
They both come out on my birthday, so. So I'm I'm gonna try to guilt trip her into it. So if that happens, it happens. If not, it's whatever. So hopefully we get to see Captain Marvel. I'm holding out hope.
Yeah, you know, despite all of the crap that's going on right now with Captain Marvel, and it's funny. Last week we were talking about Rotten Tomatoes and how they need to change the way that they allow people to rate what they want to see. Don't put any kind of reviews or anything like that. I said, basically, you just need a thumbs up or a thumbs down. They basically did that.
Yeah, after we recorded.
Yeah, they don't need the thumbs down. They didn't do the thumbs down. They just have a plus. Like, I do want to see it. That's all they have. And that works perfectly fine. But
I just don't understand the whole reasoning. Why can you review something when the movie isn't even out yet?
Again, it's not even like it's a review. It's basically just like, I want to see it because of this. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
but like,
what importance is that?
What point does that have in anything?
Exactly. It doesn't matter at all.
It doesn't at all.
So hopefully they then sit back and take a look at their reviews. I think it's going to get review bombed.
Yeah.
Once it comes out this week, I think that we're going to see some pretty crappy fan ratings for it.
But it's whatever.
But again, don't go there. Like I've been saying for years now.
Don't go to Rotten Tomatoes. Come to us.
And we'll just tell you if it's good or not.
Yeah.
Like it's that simple.
We're really brutally honest about things.
Yeah. Whether it's Marvel, DC, it doesn't matter. People want to sit here and say that I'm more DC biased. I call it shit when it's shit. Like I'm not afraid to. That's just the way it is. And yes, people have a lot of difference of opinion than I do, but I'm not going to sit here and just say, oh, because it's Marvel, it's good, or oh, because I like DC, it's good. No, it's shit.
Yeah, we all know the Suicide Squad incident.
Yeah. But moving on from there, so yeah, this week just been busy with work, you know, got my big changes that are coming, so really I've just been focused on getting
blessed
and getting that all taken care of.
I am on the other end of that, learning all that stuff that's getting taken care of.
I'm going to be really focusing on the podcast here soon. I need to, because with the thing that we've been talking about, so I need to get that all taken care of this week. I'm hoping by Wednesday I can get that sent out that I need to get sent out. That week we can move forward with it, and then hopefully eventually make the announcement about it.
Yeah.
So there's that. Plus we're coming up, in less than a month, it'll be 2 years for us.
Yeah. Yeah, so, like what?
We say April 1st. Yeah,
27 days.
Yeah. So April 1st.
Finger guns at the screen as if people can see it.
So hopefully you guys have enjoyed what we've done for the last 2 years. If not, well, screw you.
Yeah, but, fuck off.
But honestly, we've been having a great time, and this isn't about making money. This isn't about becoming popular and huge. This is just about two guys who enjoy video games, pop culture, and everything like that, and we just bullshit about it. So
outside of the Anchor ads you hear, we are completely ad-free.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, the few ads here and there that we do, it's simply just to like, hey, if we can make a couple bucks.
Yeah. Which we're at.
Yeah. I mean, if we make a couple bucks, we make a couple bucks. It's not like I'm going out there and doing anything big.
We're not getting Audible or MeUndies sponsorships or anything like
that. And, you know, we do, you know, we've had clothing in the past, t-shirts and hoodies and
stuff.
I
really miss writing those skits.
We've done that. Not saying that in the future we aren't going to push more merch and stuff like that, but right now we're just focusing on having a good time.
We're content right now.
Content.
We're focusing on content.
Oh, we're focusing on content. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we are content also.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting the following.
Yeah, exactly. We get the following. That's all that matters, is just getting some people to listen to us. And thank you for listening if you are listening. If you're not listening, screw you.
Well, fuck off. Thanks for the not download.
Bunch of assholes. God.
Yeah. Mom's a hoe.
So, this week, like I said, I watched The Umbrella Academy. And it's good. It's enjoyable.
I think in post-editing, I'm going to put a G chord every time you say Umbrella Academy. Because Gerard Way wrote The Umbrella Academy. Uh-oh. And, you know, welcome to the Black Parade.
Yeah.
Because every time I say Umbrella Academy, just doot, I'd find that G chord somewhere and isolate it and fucking listen to this podcast and do it.
Yeah, I got to find something that's G, because you ain't finding the G spot. Ah! Oof.
I ain't no G.
Anyway,
ain't nothing but
that was
a
terrible joke. at least when you're aware that it's bad, you know?
Yeah.
So, The Umbrella Academy, getting back to that. So, I'm not going to really spoil anything. I will just give my my review. Again, I think it's good. It's an enjoyable show. Mm. 10 episodes. You can sit down and you can binge it. You can watch it, you know, over a couple days. It's one of those shows that, you know, it's not hard to follow. Paying it, you know, you don't have to pay too much attention, but a little bit of attention. And it's enjoyable. A couple problems I do have was it's predictable, though. Mm. At least I thought it was predictable. I haven't talked to anybody else about it. This is the first time I'm talking to anybody about it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a little predictable. I think that this isn't giving any spoiler away. So the main premise of the first season
is everybody gets an umbrella. Boom.
Yeah. Yes. So there are 7 children that are adopted by this man because in 1989 or something like that, 43 children across the world were all born at the same exact time, the same exact day, in weird circumstances. And what I mean by weird circumstances is the ladies who had these children were not pregnant that day prior to giving birth to them. So
that's crazy.
And you actually see it happen to one woman. Like in the first episode, you see a woman, like she's sitting there and she's perfectly like not pregnant. Yeah. And then like 2 minutes later, she's pregnant and having a baby. So
wouldn't that be crazy if it happened to like real life, where you're just sitting there eating dinner with your wife and she's like, oh my god, and you're like, ah!
So this eccentric, you know, millionaire, billionaire, whatever, decides to adopt 7 of these children, and he realizes that they all have special abilities, so he trains them, and you know, he calls the house that they live in, he calls it the Umbrella Academy. So there's 7 children.
I like the concept.
6 of the children have abilities. One of them does not. So the one that does not is kind of just like there hanging out, doing their own thing. The other 6 go on missions and accomplish things. Well, you find out that one of them was actually killed, and one of them disappeared because he was able to teleport himself, and he teleported himself to the future, and he disappears. He's gone. So
interesting.
Yeah. So you're from 7 down to 4 essentially, you know, well, 5 because the one that, you know, doesn't
one's useless.
Yeah. So, you know, and that's pretty much, you know, we see all that stuff happen and then it kind of starts the movie, or not the movie, the series.
That's actually kind of cool.
The one and where it starts is they're all grown up. So like we see them when they're kids, and then after all that stuff happens, we see them grown up and kind of living their life. They're all called together to come back to the Umbrella Academy because they all go their separate ways. They're all called back because the man, their father, who adopted them, died. So they come back to honor his death and everything like that. While they're there, the one kid who disappeared, who went into the future, comes back. Now, whereas everybody else is older, like in their 30s, he comes back. And when he comes back, he's still a 13-year-old kid.
Nice.
And he explains to them that he went into the future. And when he went into the future, the apocalypse happened. And it's going to happen in 8 days. So he came back in time to stop the apocalypse. And that is the
premise.
The premise of the show, of the whole season.
That's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. Again, it was literally that moment happened, and then like 10 minutes later, I was like, that's what happens. And I was 99.8% right.
Well, I mean, I don't think, I don't know if he ever has, but like, I think this is his major like writing, like his first writing.
Maybe. I don't
know. So it's like, oh, I'm going to follow the stereotypical storytelling tropes.
Maybe.
Just to get my bearings and stuff.
It's not really that. I mean, I don't know if they put it on Front Street for a reason, because it seems throughout the whole season they're trying to misdirect you and lead you to the left when the entire time it's to the right.
Yeah.
And I knew it was to the right that quickly. So, again, besides that, it was still enjoyable. It was still enjoyable. That's my biggest issue with it, is I thought it was too predictable. My other issue is this. Look, Ellen Page, she's a decent actress. I'm not going to say she's great. I've liked her in things that I've seen her in. You know, I thought she was really good in Juno. She was good in the X-Men movies, playing Kitty Pryde. Like, I thought that she did well in those roles. It was hard for me to watch her in this one because, knowing her real life, I mean, she is a lesbian in real life. She is. I don't know if she's lesbian or bisexual or whatever, but, you know, she's part of the LGBTQ community is what she is. So
she's a he.
No, no. But she, you know, she lives that life, and that's perfectly fine. In the show, she's playing a straight woman. And what is hard for me to accept is she dresses like a lesbian in the show.
Yeah. And it's just like,
because of the way she dresses and knowing her real life and her not being a tremendous actress, she couldn't disconnect it, and to me, it was kind of off-putting at times.
It's like,
But besides that, I mean, it wasn't horrible. You know, like, it wasn't anything. I was like, oh, this show sucks. Like, it was just, like, one of those things, like, all right, I gotta suspend my disbelief with her. You know, like, that's all. It wasn't anything horrible, but it was enjoyable.
I mean, you're also watching a TV show about superheroes. So the era of, like, your... God, what did you just say? Suspending your belief?
Yeah, suspending like, disbelief.
You have to when you watch stuff like with superheroes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, definitely in this one because you have a talking monkey, you have a robot. Like, you have a whole bunch of different things in this show and from the comic. But I tell you what, I liked the way it ended. Like I said, even though it was predictable, there's that 0.2% that I didn't predict, and it was really cool. And you're like, I liked it.
Dope.
Yeah, yeah, and I liked it. So, and it's good. Like, I might actually watch it again because I enjoyed it that much.
Is there going to be a second
Absolutely.
Season?
There has to be. Mm. With the way it ended, there has to be. And I just read on the internet, maybe Screen Rant or something like that, that Netflix is already scouting locations
for
season two.
More of a reason to watch it. That's my problem. I need to catch up on A Haunting on Hill House or A Haunting of Hill House or whatever the hell it's called, because they're doing season two or the second part. It's an anthology. I don't think it's a sequel or
I mean it's an anthology type of thing, so it's a second season just somewhere else. It takes place something else, because like the first one was A Haunting on Hill House. This is going to be A Haunting here, you know, A Haunting there. That's what they're going to do with them, so whatever. It's cool. I also watched Black Mirror Bandersnatch, and I tell you what, it was interesting. I know it came out last year, late last year. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a really cool concept to have an interactive movie like that through Netflix, and it's pretty brilliant, you know, what they did. I'm not going to say it was flawless. I feel that there were some issues they had with it, but it was a cool concept. It was different. It was interesting, just like Black Mirror is. Like, that's what Black Mirror is. It's about, you know, taking technology and showing the different things that could potentially happen with technology, and making you think, like, is that a good idea? Is it not a good idea? That kind of thing. So I really enjoyed it. I do encourage everybody to watch it.
All 5.5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly that. I mean, I watched about like a total of like 3 hours, because you can go back and make different selections and different choices, which play out differently. I don't think it's really that long, because like I said, I watched all 5 endings. I thought I got pretty much everything from it, and I got it done in about 2.5-3 hours.
Nerd.
Yeah. But I watched that, so it was enjoyable.
That's on my watch list, too. Yeah. But I still have yet to watch the first episode of Black Mirror.
So you never watched any of Black Mirror?
No.
Come on, man. How about this?
I want to start watching it.
Here's what I'll do. I'm going to pick out, because there are some duds. There are some duds in there. I'll pick out like the top episodes from each season, and you'll just have to watch those.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been so busy lately.
Yes. Yeah. But the nice thing about this is, because it's an anthology, you can literally watch an episode and then go back to it again like 2 weeks later and watch another episode, because it doesn't connect. So that's kind of nice.
I'll get to it.
Yeah.
I need to finish A Haunting on Hill House first and foremost, though. That's the top priority thingy. Yeah. So, are you excited for Division 2?
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah. I didn't play the beta. The beta was this past week, and I just didn't have a chance because of work. But I am. I'm excited about it. I like the changes that they've made with it, with the Dark Zones, and you know, making sure that you're not going up against people who are way overpowered compared to you. I like that. I'm just more interested in the story than anything. Like, the story was so interesting in the first one. That's really what I care about in this one.
Hopefully it doesn't brick your console like another game that's come out recently.
Ooh, what was that game?
Anthem.
Oh, yeah.
More of this and more on the Gaming Corner this week. Selfless plug.
No, Anthem is definitely, I was so excited about it. I'm so glad I didn't get it.
I mean, I just can't believe how much of a steaming turd that it turned out to be. Like, that's real disappointing, because it looked real good and then it's just like turd. Rest in spagat.
Honestly, I'm gonna be completely brutally honest with it. It's trying to be Destiny, and that's its problem. Destiny 2, like, the drop that Destiny 2 had from Destiny 1, and then you go and BioWare's like, hey, let's make Anthem, and let's make it like Destiny. Why would you think that there wouldn't be more of a drop? Like,
yeah.
It, like, nobody wants to play Destiny, because it didn't turn out to be what people wanted it to be, what they promised it would be, and...
And it just sucks.
Yeah. So, and then obviously you had the mishandling of Andromeda by BioWare, which put less faith in Anthem.
Oh, God. That really spires back from, like, the mishandling of Mass Effect 3.
Yeah. But we will get into that on Colton's Gaming Corner. Is this going to be the first official Gaming Corner? And it is happening, because you want to know why it's happening? Because I'm going to guest with him on his first episode.
Oh, that's my audio equipment, like, is ass right now. I don't know what's wrong with it.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
It literally sounds like...
It sounds like this.
Really?
And then at times it sounds like this. And then it sounds like this for no rhyme or reason.
That's weird.
That was all handmade, by the way. That wasn't real shit.
You're using a laptop, right?
No, I have a PC.
You have a PC at home?
I have it set up literally the exact same way we have it set up,
really?
Too. Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with it. Hopefully it's not like a faulty piece.
It could be your microphone. We have another mic you can take, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know.
And we'll figure it out.
And then there's times where Audacity just doesn't pick it up.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I don't know. Yeah. There's some behind-the-scenes stuff for you.
Yeah. You know what I want to talk about? I don't know if you heard about this. So, you know, we had the Academy Awards last week, and, you know, people are still talking about it a little bit. Steven Spielberg, who I respect as a director, as a filmmaker, probably as much as I respect anybody in life, because I think he has done some amazing works of art. But he came out this past week, and... he basically spoke at the Academy's 10th Annual Governors Awards back in November. And why this news is only getting out now like this, but let's see. After a successful, if not turbulent, awards campaign during the most recent Oscar season, Netflix's place among more traditional film studios is facing its biggest challenge yet. Award-winning director Steven Spielberg is reportedly campaigning to disqualify streaming services from the Academy Awards once and for all. But Netflix won't go down without a fight, as it proved on Twitter this weekend. Now, this is coming from Polygon.com. I don't know if you guys have ever gone to that site. It's a cool site.
Yeah.
But Netflix's response on Twitter was, "We love cinema. Here are some things we also love. Access for people who can't always afford or live in towns without theaters. Letting everyone, everywhere, enjoy releases at the same time. Giving filmmakers more ways to share art. These things are not mutually exclusive." Look, I love Spielberg. I do.
Yeah, I think he's a little out of place for this.
And don't get me wrong, I love going to the movie theater. You know, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't go as much if I didn't like going and seeing a movie in the theater. It's
I wouldn't go four times a week.
It's an experience almost like no other when it comes to entertainment. Mm. So I love it. Problem is, the Academy Awards...
are so convoluted, it's unreal.
Not convoluted, but what does it say about an award that disqualifies an artist? It's an award about celebrating somebody's art.
Yeah.
That is what the Academy Awards is supposed to be. But they're going to disqualify you because you didn't go into a movie theater.
That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. You know, like, in my opinion, every single movie that is released in a year, so every movie that has been released from January 1st until December 31st should be eligible for an Academy Award. Every single one. It doesn't matter if it came out on streaming, if it was direct to DVD, if it was direct to your mailbox, if it was wherever it was released to, it should be able to be in the Academy Award discussion.
Yeah. A Vimeo exclusive.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. A YouTube exclusive, a Facebook exclusive. Like, it shouldn't matter. If it is a movie, if it is legitimately a movie, and now that's, you know, how do you determine if something is a movie? But if it's legitimately a movie, it should be awarded the opportunity to be considered for an Academy Award. That's simple. Because those people put their heart, their soul, their blood, their tears into that work of art.
Yeah, like it meant something
to them.
You're
going to sit there, and Steven Spielberg, of all people, you know, is it that the whole, his place in Hollywood, has it gotten to his head? Because of all people, you would think that somebody who came up the ranks like he did, you know, with somebody like George Lucas as his best friend, like, you would think that they would say, you know what, this is impressive. It is impressive what you have been able to do on such a small budget. It's impressive that you were able to make a movie and find somebody to put it out, whether it's on streaming or in the theaters or what.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they should be looking at. They should be saying, that is impressive. What are they afraid of? Like, honestly, what is he afraid of happening to, yeah, his, to
his... His legacy is already sealed.
His legacy is sealed. Yeah, he has made shit movies in the past 10 years. Like, really, he hasn't made anything great. Ready Player One was good, not award-worthy. But that doesn't matter.
I think he's salty about that.
Maybe. Maybe he is. But that's what bothers me about it. Because every single person who makes a movie should be given the opportunity...
Yeah, to at least considered.
To be considered. That's it. I'm not saying that they have, like, you have to put them up for an award, but they need to be considered. They need to be sending out all those mailers and all those review DVDs to all the people who vote on the awards, and it should say for your consideration.
Yeah.
And watch that movie for your consideration. That's all. That's it. Like, for your consideration, watch this movie for an award. You didn't like it? Throw it to the side.
Yeah. That's whatever. Simple. Or make a separate award for it. Best streaming service movie or whatever.
But then, you know, then. Look what happened with you know what's going on with the most popular movie. You know, like, they had that thing where they were like, let's make the most popular movie award. What the fuck does that mean? That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything.
You know, it's basically the same thing, because they're like, well, we'll make a most popular award movie, so none of those movies can be made or voted for the best movie. No, if it's a good movie, it should be in the best movie category. It's that simple. I just don't understand it. It's maddening. And I support Netflix, and I hope every other streaming service gets behind Netflix. I hope independent filmmakers get behind Netflix and all the other streaming services and stand up to Spielberg and the rest of Hollywood nuts who are sitting behind him saying that this is right to do, because it's not. And people want to sit here and always question me, why don't you like award ceremonies? This is why. And this is why I think the award ceremonies are bullshit. This is why I think that they should not be done anymore.
This is a rant.
And like, come on. Like, what is the point? This does nothing. Yeah. This does not a single thing. What if it's on a streaming service or in theaters, it doesn't change the fact of anything at all. Because just because it's on a streaming service doesn't mean it's good enough for an Academy Award.
Yeah.
You know, we have a Scorsese movie coming out on Netflix this year.
Yeah.
All right? Why, of all people who should be considered for an Academy Award, is Martin Scorsese? So you're going to say that a Scorsese film should not be considered.
I think he's just salty and old. He's a grumpy old man now.
It's just, it's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. I can't take
it. I think that's the generation gap we're seeing now. The old people, I'll say old people, are used to the traditional ways and can't adapt to the way things are starting to transition to.
I guess.
Like, I feel like that's the case. Like, they're like, oh, that's not a real movie. It's not in a movie theater. Like, no, it's not.
And right
mean
now,
anything.
I mean, they do have, like, here's the thing. They do have a rule in place right now that a movie has to run for at least, I think it's a week, in a movie theater to be considered. So any of the streaming service movies that Netflix thinks could be award-winning, they do put in theater, and it has to reach so many theaters, but they put it in the theater for 1 week, and then they take it out, and then it's on the streaming service still. Like, but they put it out at the same time as it's available on the streaming service.
Yeah.
But at least it gets its run, so they can say, look, it ran. That should not be a prerequisite at all.
We should make a movie, put it into like 300 movie theaters for a week and see if we get nominated.
Yeah.
Just us sitting here doing nothing for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Occasionally getting up to go do something else.
Literally just a video camera in a corner right there, just watching.
Yeah. And you know what? People would vote for that, because we would be the underdog trolls. They'd be like, I'm voting for this. There's no way this is going to win.
Yeah.
And then we end up winning and we become famous completely on accident.
Yeah. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, we got some Game of Thrones pictures for on the covers of Entertainment Weekly. God, I can't wait for the final season. I'm getting amped about it because a buddy of mine at work started watching him this past week. So he's like coming to me and talking to me about it, reminding me of stuff. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah. Red Wedding was dope. I still need to watch it, but at this point I'm just like, I'll wait for the final season to come out and I'll just binge watch the entire thing.
I cannot.
I mean, we watched like the last three episodes of the last season together.
Yeah.
And I had no context to anything.
Yeah, I mean, I watched everything prior to that. You just were like, I'll watch the last three with you.
Yeah, I was like, whatever.
But I couldn't not be part of the conversation during season 8. Like, I cannot not be part of it. Like, I have to be. I have to be part of the conversation. Like, I need to go into work, and people are like, did you see Game of Thrones? Like, yeah, I did! Mm. You're like, oh my God! I can't wait till next week! Yeah, like, that's, like, I can't be out of the loop. Like, I just can't. So.
Rest in spaghetti.
Yeah. Finish that.
Game of Thrones is dope. Did you see the two very blurry images we got of the Birds of Prey movie?
I did not, but I heard one of them was of Black Mask.
You could say that, I guess. Yeah. I mean, they were all kind of like standing sideways and everybody was shadowed. And then one's like Harley Quinn leaning next to a car.
Oh,
yeah. What? So, yeah, those are the two photos of the Black Mask.
Yeah. I do want to throw this out there. I mean, this doesn't necessarily, I mean, it does affect the nerd world, geek world a little bit, but not completely. I mean, he was part of a couple different fandoms growing up for me. And definitely was part of a big fandom right now that's going on. But, you know, just we want to, you know, just say our thoughts and prayers and stuff like that are with Luke Perry's family. Luke Perry, who was the father on Riverdale, and he also was in the movie Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, not the TV show. And he was also a big role in Beverly Hills 90210 in the early 90s. Had a massive heart attack, massive stroke this past week. They put him on, or they didn't put him on, but they put him into a medicated coma, and he passed away today. So, rest in peace.
Rest in spaghetti, never forgetty.
Hopefully, you know, everybody can get by it, but thoughts and prayers with that, because I enjoyed Riverdale. I watched the first season, couldn't really get into the second season too much, but I really did enjoy the first season.
I never understood the hype for it.
He played it, you know, I mean, he did well in the show. I mean, it wasn't anything special. He was just playing Archie's dad, but it was nothing.
I never really wanted to get into it, never saw an episode of it. Never understood the hype around it.
Yeah,
I mean, same thing with Shameless. Never understood the hype around Shameless either.
Man, Shameless is amazing. Totally two different things, by the way. Like, yeah, nowhere near similar.
But like, they have huge fandoms, and I don't understand why.
I don't know how you cannot like Shameless.
I've never watched it. Have no desire to watch it.
You need to watch it.
No desire.
I'm telling you.
No desire.
Who knows you better than me? Honestly, who knows you better than me?
I should say my girlfriend.
But you can't. I'm telling you. And you know what? Your girlfriend will like it also if she hasn't watched it.
I don't know. She may have watched
it. I'm telling you. You will. It is, dude, it is right down your alley.
I've never had any desire to watch it.
I'm telling you. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, it's suited more for you than it is for me. Ow. And I love it.
That's exciting, I guess. I don't know. She's rewatching Friends, so I'm going to have a second.
I just did that.
She loves Friends. She'll just put it on to start watching it. And the next thing you know, she watched three seasons of it. And
I just did that the last 2 weeks.
And I'm just like, why don't you just finish watching it?
I just did that the last 2 weeks. I actually just started watching Cheers because I was trying to figure out something that I haven't watched a lot, because I've watched Scrubs, I've watched Friends, I've watched How I Met Your Mother, I've watched this. There's been so many sitcoms that I've watched multiple times. And I was like, what haven't I watched multiple times? Cheers, I never watched entirely. Like, I've seen episodes here and there. It came out in 1982. I was born in 86.
Nice.
It ended in 93.
It started and ended before I was born.
So, like, I saw episodes. I remember seeing episodes when I was a kid. I actually think I remember the finale even when I was a kid, because it was such a big deal. And I remember my mom and my brother wanting to watch the finale. So I've seen episodes since then here and there, but I've never watched it start to finish. And I was like, you know, I'm going to watch that. And what's cool about that is that'll lead right into Frasier, because Frasier's a spinoff of that. And I've seen a lot more Frasier than I have of Cheers. I used to watch Frasier all the time growing up because it was on while I was
Frasier was a cool show.
Yeah, I love Frasier. Frasier, it's one of those shows that, you know, you could just watch. Like, if it's on, you can watch it and just enjoy it, you know?
It's a great show.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. So my plan is to watch the, 10 seasons, 11 seasons of Cheers, and then I'm going to watch, I think it's 8 or 9 seasons of Frasier, and that's my next two shows that I'm watching. Because I like to have, like, I will have a show that I'm actively watching, and then when newer shows come out, it's like, okay, I'll put that on pause for a while, binge this, and then go back to this. Because I'm one of those people that I need to have something at all times to watch. Like, I can't not have anything to watch. Like, you know that feeling you get whenever you binge watch something, and then it's done, and you're like, what do I do with my life? What do I do?
I still have that problem with...
What do I do?
I have that problem with video games. I'm actually going through that with Red Dead 2. Really? I'm still so sad that it's over. Like, I love that game.
Yeah, there's some controversy with Red Dead 2 right now too, with their
their
latest patch.
Yeah, broke the game.
Yeah,
whatever. I don't play online. I love the single player, so whatever.
Break
multiplayer. As long as single player is cool, I'm fine with it.
Man,
Rockstar, if you're listening, please remake Red Dead 1 and put it in Red Dead 2. Please,
please. So we got a Shazam trailer this week.
Wait.
No, it didn't happen.
Damn.
Yeah, you gotta scream it.
Yeah, well, scream it.
Shazam! Damn it, nothing.
Damn it!
yeah, that came out today.
That was dope.
I loved it. We're seeing just enough for this movie. You know, there was a lot in this trailer that were in the last trailer and the teaser, so it wasn't like, oh, here's a bunch of new stuff, but there was some new stuff in it.
Yeah, and it was nothing like in the middle of the movie. It was just stuff that was built on from the teasers and stuff.
And they really just, you know, push home the fact that this is going to be a fun movie. Mm. That's what we want to see. You know, Aquaman was great fun. It was beautifully made. It was a good time. But I still think that Aquaman is going to be considered way more serious than Shazam is going to be. And,
yeah.
Which is
still crazy to think.
Yeah. But I can't wait for it, man.
April 5th.
Yeah.
You got what? Almost a month. Yeah. Almost a month to the day.
The crazy thing is, I remember whenever they were casting for Shazam, and there you go, who are they going to cast as Shazam? And I was behind, oh, I think they need to, you know who would be perfect for it? Zac Efron. Zac Efron would be perfect for playing Shazam. And today I found out from somebody, and I was talking to somebody, that Zac Efron is only 5'8" tall.
Really? That's disappointing.
Zachary Levi is 6'3".
Zac Efron's 5'8"? He's shorter than me?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That just turned my world upside down.
Yeah. So you think that Shazam has to go toe-to-toe, face-to-face with the likes of Black Adam, who is going to be played by The Rock.
Who's like 7 foot tall.
Henry Cavill, who's Superman, who's 6'1". Let's see how tall The Rock is. The Rock is 6'5". So
like 13 feet tall.
So while I was really behind and like on the idea of Zac Efron doing that, I honestly don't think he's ever going to be able to become a superhero.
Yeah, not at 5'8".
Not at 5'8". Like, I it sucks because I think he would be perfect for some of these roles, but
he's 5'8".
Personality wise, but he's 5'8".
I can't believe he's that short.
I know.
That's mind twisting.
And then I was watching The Greatest Showman, and then I'm like, holy crap, he is really short.
And now he's the butt of everybody's jokes.
He's really, really short.
It's weird that you never like think about that stuff when you're watching it.
No, because yeah, like I was watching it, and I know Hugh Jackman isn't a tall guy either. Let me see how tall he is, because he is tall, but he's not like super tall.
6 foot even.
6'2". Oh, he's kind of tall, but the height difference between him and Zac Efron, I was like, what? Really? That's crazy.
Zac Efron's a
Zendaya. Zendaya is taller than him.
She's tall.
Yeah, she is tall. But you know, they're the love interest in The Greatest Showman. The two.
And she's like, sit down, honey. Let me take this one.
Oh man, I'm sitting here like, holy crap. He's that short?
Hey, Zac Efron, if you're listening to us, come on the podcast. Tell us about your height. Attack us verbally. I don't care.
Oh, man.
We need the PR. Rap, tap, tat, 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 tap.
Tap, tap, tap. Let's see. The Flash, Tom Cavanaugh might be exiting the show after Crisis on Infinite Earth. That kind of sucks, but they've kind of beaten his whole character idea, you know, to death. The first season, he was Eobard Thawne.
Some may say he ran his course. That was a good pun.
he was Eobard Thawne in the first season, and then the second season he came back as Earth 2 Henry
Harry Johnson.
Harry Wells, is that what they called him? Harry, yeah, Harry Wells. And then the third season he came as like Earth like 17 Wells, and then this season he's like Earth like 96 Wells. It's like enough with bringing these different Wellses.
Yeah,
to,
like we don't care about that.
it's the trope got old after the first time. Like stop. So that's kind of, so I mean, it sucks. I think he's a great actor. I think he was perfect for this show and what he's done with it. But you know, again, it's just kind of,
well, when your character trope gets destroyed like that.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's a rest in spagat. Never forgot. Ow.
Throw out some mad respect to our boy Goku from Dragon Ball universe.
Yeah.
1 year ago today, he attained and completed the Ultra Instinct form.
Blessed, fam. And he saved Universe 7.
He didn't save it. He helped save it. Because if it wasn't for Frieza and 17.
Yeah. Well, whatever. He went toe-to-toe with Shiro.
Spoilers for all those who did not watch the
You know what? If you haven't watched the Japanese version, you're not a real Dragon Ball fan. I'll say it.
Whoa. See, that's weird because, you know, what I threw up on the group the other day.
Yeah.
I threw up that post the other day. Where is it at here? Oh, boy. I can't
find we look for the post, I'll attack fans. Yeah. If you're, like, we were both watching it here before we recorded. We took a half hour to watch it and read the subtitles and stuff. Like, we wanted to watch that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you wanted to watch it, you would have already watched
it. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I can't find the post now. But, you know, I posted in the Bridging the Geekdom's Facebook group the other day, like, you know, people try and sit there and say that watching anime with the subtitles and the Japanese voices is better than watching it dubbed. The problem is, like, people don't understand that, okay, first off, that doesn't mean you're more superior. It doesn't mean that it's better. Yeah,
that means nothing.
It means nothing. Like, I watched the Dragon Ball Super stuff because I wanted to see what was happening.
Yeah.
Like, that, I couldn't wait. So I watched it with subtitles, and I was happy. Perfect. And I'm actually watching it now dubbed.
Like,
it's what I do.
It's a Dragon Ball series.
Exactly.
Fans are going to watch it.
But what people don't understand, they're like, oh, but you know, it fits better. So whenever you're watching it with them speaking Japanese, you can see the words mouthing better to it. And it's like, first off, you're reading the words below. How are you watching the mouth?
Better yet, it should not be that big of a thing.
It shouldn't be.
Like, if you're watching a cartoon for the voices to match up with the mouths, you're watching it for the wrong reason.
Like, I mean, 90% of the time, the TV shows with editing and everything, the mouths don't match up. Dude, I can't tell you how many editing flaws I found in Friends whenever I was watching all 10 seasons the past couple weeks. Like, so many flaws in Friends. And people want to sit there and complain about, oh, I can't watch the dubbed anime because it does. Like, get out of here.
You want to see some real bad dubbing? Play any of the video games.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst dubbing on earth.
Spider-Man. Just kidding.
There are times. I've noticed there are some times. But, I mean, Goku out there being my boy. I'm actually kind of excited for, like, I don't know if they're probably going to use the manga, but, like, the new villain that's in the manga. Yeah, I can't wait for that to come out.
Yeah, I mean,
he's, like, OP powerful.
We've been trying to keep up on the manga as much as possible. It's tough because it's not converted to English yet, so.
Yeah, we can look at pictures and kind of piece it together.
Yeah, and well, there's people online that are converting it and posting it online, so I'm trying to piece as much of it together as I can while I'm reading it and checking it out, but it does sound cool, and, like, they're hinting to the possibility of Piccolo.
Yeah,
more relevant again, because they're seeing that the similarities to previous sagas where, you know, you have the villain who pushes Goku and Vegeta to the edge and they can't do anymore, and then Piccolo comes in and, you know,
saves the day
for like 10 minutes, and then he gets pushed to the limit and can't do anymore, and then Vegeta comes back and he's stronger but gets pushed to the limit, and then Goku comes and saves the day.
That's Dragon Ball Z in a nutshell.
Basically. But they're kind of seeing the similarities in that happening. So I'm kind of cool. I'm kind of pumped. Like, the one thing that we've never seen with Namek or even Piccolo, like, I would love to see him get a form.
Yeah.
He doesn't have another
form.
Like,
I would love for them to explore, because they have gods. Like, why not give a Namekian god form?
Yeah, yeah. Like, something like that.
Piccolo becomes a god. Then you have three people you can use in the series instead of just two.
Yeah, I think that what I'm going to do is try and keep track of what's going on with that, because I'd like to talk more about Dragon Ball. I know you were talking about wanting to do that yourself.
Yeah, and then I got busy, so that kind of went to the wayside.
Yeah. So maybe we should do something, like, when it comes to the mangas. Like, if we can get the mangas, if we can get, you know, starting after the end of Broly, so where it starts then, and move forward with the mangas and see if we can start reviewing them once a week.
That would be dope.
It'd be kind of cool.
Just review all the whole bunch that's out right now.
Yeah.
In one episode and then keep going.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
I'd get behind that, because I like trying to track down the mangas. I'm trying to do it for free.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
We did have another trailer this week. Dark Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, we did have Dumbo, but I didn't watch the Dumbo one.
Yeah. Dark Phoenix. Dark Phoenix says, I think this is going to be the final trailer before it comes out. Obviously, we'll have some TV spots.
Yeah.
But it gives away a huge spoiler in the movie, which they're okay with. Like the production, you know, Fox was like, hey, we wanted to show this because we wanted to show how, one, it was going to be much different than any other X-Men movie, and two, that... no one is safe in this film. And spoilers, 3, 2, 1, they kill off. In the trailer, they show the killing and the funeral of Mystique.
I mean, Fox is like, whatever.
Yeah.
this is not canon.
I mean, this is their final,
yeah, they're final like, go at they're it. They're like, whatever. Who cares?
And, hey, whatever. I mean, I still have this weird suspicion that them doing this is all trick.
Probably.
That it isn't Mystique that dies, that it's somebody else that actually dies.
It's completely out of context.
Yeah. And they're just going with it because people are thinking it. So they're like, yeah, we wanted to show that. Yeah, because you don't actually see her die. You see her get injured, and then we see a funeral thereafter.
Yeah.
But then she's in the trailer again after that, so.
It's whatever. I mean, I'm just taking it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
It's Fox's last hoorah with the X-Men.
And honestly, like, it looks interesting. Like, yeah. I'm more interested in seeing this movie now than I was prior to seeing this trailer.
And what's weird is, Rachel, I know you probably don't listen, but she was, like, gung-ho for this movie from the start, and then didn't she come? No, she wasn't gung-ho for it? No, she was against it, but she likes the Dark Phoenix character.
Exactly. She's just mad because they screwed up Dark Phoenix and... excuse me, X-Men The Last Stand.
Yeah, now so, I got that mixed up.
She hated that, and now she's not confident in this. And I'm like, look, man, I'm dying. Shows me for drinking water. Damn you, water.
Damn you being healthy.
You know, she made a good point that, you know, Apocalypse sucked. But in my opinion, First Class and Days of Future Past were amazing. So you take 2 out of 3 movies were really good.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, the odds are for it being good.
Yeah.
If you think about it. Now, it could be crap. Maybe it is. But I'm willing to give it a shot. I'm not overly excited about it, but I'm willing to give it a shot. It comes out this June, so.
I mean, it's,
whatever.
It could be Fox like, oh, hey, it's our last hoorah. Let's make a really good movie. Or, hey, this is our last movie. Whatever. Like, it could be one of the two. I mean, whatever. I'm going to see it. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
I'm still sad that New Mutants isn't coming out.
Hmm.
It's whatever. Did you see the report I shared
with
the group?
Well, they're saying that New Mutants is just... I said this, what, a year ago?
Yeah, that it wasn't going to come out.
It's never going to come out.
I mean, it's an interesting concept.
I still don't know if it's going to come out or not. Like, yeah. I'm on the fence now if it comes out or not. I'm not 100% it's not coming out, but they had reshoots that they had to do for it. They haven't done the reshoots. They haven't even planned when they're going to do the reshoots.
Yeah.
The movie comes out in August. It's set to come out in August. So they haven't done the reshoots yet that they said we need to done.
In August.
And then now you're hearing that it might come out on Disney Plus. Some people are saying, well, Hulu would make more sense. Because I agree. I think it would make more sense putting it on Hulu because it was going to be rated R. So you don't want... I don't think Disney Plus is going to have any R-rated stuff on it.
Yeah. Or at least not at first.
So I can see them doing Hulu. And here's the thing. Hulu, if you don't know, is owned by Disney, Fox, and...
that other company. I mean, it's basically owned by Disney.
I got to find this out because it's going to bother me.
I mean, they own 2/3 of the company.
Yeah. And Hulu.
Colton Bird, Robert Slavitsky.
Comcast. There we go.
Oh.
And Comcast, which is NBC Universal. So Disney is going to have the majority of it once they take over 21st Century Fox. But now they are trying to buy the other 30% off of NBC Universal. And then AT&T actually owns 10% of it, but I'm sure they're like, who cares about AT&T? If we own the majority of it, AT&T...
If we own everything but that 10%, they can't say anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, from what I understand, they're actually pushing and trying to buy it off of NBC Universal. My guess is this, is Disney's then going to have their Disney Plus for all their family-friendly Marvel, Star Wars content, and then all of the Fox content, all of their R-rated and stuff like that is going to be on Hulu. That's what I see happening.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Plus, that'll put Disney in control of entertainment to the fact where they have live TV then through Hulu.
Yeah.
It's just, it makes sense.
Disney slowly monopolizing.
Shh, don't say that.
I mean, They're slowly but surely building an empire. Not monopolizing. Of course not. Speaking of Monopoly, this is completely off the wall. But have you been to the Walmart in Uniontown?
Walmart in Uniontown?
Yeah.
Not lately.
Have you seen the they have it there. It's the Fayette Countyopoly.
Oh, I heard about it. Somebody told me about it.
It's there. It's real. I saw it. I almost bought it for novelty, but I didn't.
Yeah.
But it's there. I had to see it. I was like, if this is real, I have to see it in person with my own eyes. And I saw it with my own eyes. It's $20. I mean, I guess it's kind of worth the pickup if you like playing Monopoly or just collecting Monopoly boards.
Yeah. When I worked at Hollywood Video, we used to sell the crazy Monopolies. And like, you know, like back then, though, they weren't like crazy because they had like Super Mario. They had, I think Friends Monopoly was out at the time. And there's just different things, yeah. You know, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, that kind of stuff. And we would sell them there. And I literally would have people coming in and they were like, hey, do you have a shipment coming in? I'm like, yeah, I got a shipment. So I get my shipment. They come in like, what do you have? Oh, I don't have that one. I want that one. I want that one of them. And like, they would buy them all. I'm like, what? All Monopolies are the same.
Yeah, who collects Monopoly boards?
Exactly.
I mean, not saying that I don't have all the Star Wars ones still wrapped, but I like Star Wars. I'm not going out there and be like, oh, I need the Fayette County one. I need this one. I need that one. I just collect the Star Wars ones. Because the Clone Wars ones does actually have the metallic pieces. Like, they're real metal. It's weird.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. So, what we're going to do here, because we've been going on an adventure through characters of the MCU and what they're going to be for Endgame. You know, we're kind of building up to that. We're getting closer and closer to Endgame. This week, obviously, is Captain Marvel, which we're actually going to cover Captain Marvel in about a week or so. This week, though, we're going to talk about Scarlet Witch and Vision.
Nice.
So, Scarlet Witch, let's start with her real quick and nice. Scarlet Witch debuted together with her brother, Quicksilver, as part of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants in X-Men number 4 in March 1964. They were depicted as reluctant villains, uninterested in Magneto's ideologies. Scarlet Witch is depicted as calm and submissive, as with most female comic book characters of the time. Her costume was mainly composed of a bathing suit with straps, opera gloves, short boots, a leotard covering her body, a superhero cape, and a wimple. What the hell's a wimple?
Sam.
Wimple is an ancient form of female headdress, kind of like what you saw like old people, like people in the old days wear, all of which were colored the shades of red. All those early X-Men characters were created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. So, she is an interesting person. She does have some abilities that have drastically changed from decade to decade to different medium that has come out with Scarlet Witch. I'm not going to really dive into what her abilities are in the comics. And I'm going to be completely honest with you guys here. I had a busy weekend. I didn't really get to do as much research as I would have liked to on Scarlet Witch. From what I was able to research in the short amount of time that I had, I don't see her showing up in the comics during the Infinity Gauntlet or Infinity War stuff, which I thought she did, but it appears that she did not. So,
da, da, da.
Yeah, you have that. Let's see. She does die. Looks like she meets her apparent death. In Uncanny Avengers number 14, she meets her apparent death at the hands of teammate Rogue, who had absorbed Wolverine's powers. This death is eventually undone when the surviving Unity Squad are projected back in time, having learned that Rogue was manipulated by the Apocalypse twins into killing Wanda, allowing the Avengers to band together and defeat an approaching Celestial. So she does die in the comics. So
kind of.
Yeah. she sort of dies. But, in the movies, I mean, she's introduced in Age of Ultron with her brother, Quicksilver.
Understandable.
The difference between her history from the comics and in this is she's not a mutant, whereas in the comics, she is a mutant. As far as we know, as of right now, she is not a mutant in the MCU. She was actually supposedly created utilizing one of the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Supposedly. Again, that's...
Could be
changed.
Could be foreshadowing to something we don't know yet.
So she comes up through the ranks initially as a villain. You know, she blames
that guy.
Yeah. Well, she's used as a tool by Ultron and helping defeat the Avengers. She holds a grudge against the Avengers. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on in Ultron, and it's a terrible movie, and honestly, I've seen it twice, so I can't really go over it.
Yeah, Ultron I haven't.
Quicksilver dies because
why? Because he wastes his life on Hawkeye.
But we're not talking about Quicksilver now.
Yeah, fuck Hawkeye.
But because of that, she actually then becomes part of the Avengers at the end of Ultron, because she ended up working with the Avengers in Sokovia to help save all the people there. And it was determined that
she was like, I don't know where to go.
She's played by Elizabeth Olsen, who is absolutely hot.
Key part of the character.
No, the one thing that's interesting is, I don't know if you know this, and I actually read this in an article earlier this week. Captain Marvel was actually supposed to, in an early draft of Age of Ultron, was supposed to show up in Age of Ultron at the end of the movie.
I think I saw that article, but I didn't read it.
Yeah. So where at the end of the movie, you see Scarlet Witch kind of hovering with the Avengers, I believe. I think she's hovering or she's standing there or something like that. That was originally supposed to be Captain Marvel. So Captain Marvel wasn't going to show up until the very end of Age of Ultron and just be there. That was Joss Whedon's initial script
That would have been weird, but kind of cool all at the same time. All this happened and she didn't show up, but I'm happy she's here.
Yeah, but I mean, if you think about it, because she is the most powerful character in the Marvel Universe, having her show up in Age of Ultron, basically Civil War, all this other stuff that happened since
then. She would have murked everybody.
Yeah, like there's no... So it was better that they kept her out until now. It'll be interesting to see how they utilize her moving forward, but at this point...
I just want to see Super Saiyan.
Super Saiyan Captain Marvel.
That's all I'm looking for.
She then, you know, because she's part of the Avengers after the Age of Ultron, she does show up again in...
Civil War.
She takes the side of Tony Stark. Yes, Tony Stark, right? No.
No, she's on Captain America.
Captain America, I can't remember.
I think she's Captain America.
She is on Captain America's Vision's on Tony's side. So she takes a side of that. She's actually a big reason why the Sokovia Accords have to be made, because she accidentally kills a whole bunch of people in the beginning of the movie because she can't control her powers as well as she would like. And it's because of that the Sokovia Accords. So, and then, you know, Tony gets worried about her, or not worried about her, but concerned with her, what she's going to do and how she's going to react to all this stuff going on. So they try to imprison her in the Avengers complex. She escapes thanks to the help of your boy Hawkeye.
Fuck Hawkeye. I hate him. He's so useless. I hope he dies in Endgame.
They then have their little battle over in Germany.
More people don't die.
Yeah. Then she gets put on the raft also. I believe she's in the raft at the end of Civil War. We never got explained how they all escaped the raft.
Yeah.
I mean, Captain America does show up.
Yeah.
So does he release them all? I guess that's the explanation we get.
I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. Oh, whatever. So that happens. But then that doesn't make sense, because if Captain America helped release all those people there, Ant-Man was there at the time, and he was released on his own accord, according to Ant-Man and the Wasp, that he was on house arrest after being released.
Same with Hawkeye.
Yeah. So like none of it makes sense. Yeah. You see what I mean? Like Captain America didn't let them out then. So what happened?
Maybe they broke out.
No, they can't. They couldn't have broken out because those two are on house arrest.
Yeah, but not like those two. The other ones. I mean, Hawkeye and Ant-Man are the two most useless characters in the MCU. Ignore the fact that Ant-Man's probably going to play a real big role in Endgame. He's useless. So maybe they were like, "Oh, we're useless. We're just going to stay back." Or maybe they just wanted family time. I mean, Hawkeye has a family. Ant-Man has a daughter. Kind of.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, there's a big old gray area there.
Vision and her do actually have a relationship in the comics.
They totally bang.
They bang. I said bang, bang, bangity, bang.
He gives her a full showing.
Oh, man.
What's wrong with me?
I don't really know what's wrong with you. So just like in there, she does... let's see.
She does some stuff.
So
things.
Scarlet Witch and the Vision start a romantic relation that would help the series character development. He elected those characters in a relationship because they were only published in the Avengers comic book, so it would not interfere with other publications. The first kiss took place during the Kree-Skrull War arc. Thomas, the
It's a weird time to kiss someone.
Also added Hawkeye into a love triangle with both characters.
Whoa. I mean, it makes sense for Hawkeye. Complete sense. But if he was in a love triangle and they all found out and got mad, he would be the first one dead.
You kind of think about it. Do you think that could be kind of just a little nod in Civil War to that? Because remember when Hawkeye goes to save Scarlet Witch, it's Vision who's trying to stop them. So,
yeah, maybe.
I mean, I'm not saying like, oh, they're making the love triangle. I'm just saying maybe it was just a little nod to the comics.
Yeah, like, hey, that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, he would get murked if it happened.
I mean, yeah.
He would just die.
I'm just saying maybe it was because it's just interesting to not like think back on that. I mean, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just coincidence.
Maybe
it wasn't.
Yeah, coincidence.
But still.
I mean, that movie.
Yeah, I know. So they start a relationship in the films as well. After Civil War, we see their relationship in Infinity War, the beginning of Infinity War, and that's kind of the driving force of Scarlet Witch through the entire film of Infinity War, is because it's about trying to save Vision from them killing him, taking the
stone.
Soul Stone out of his head. Not Soul Stone.
Mind
Stone, yes.
There we go.
Yeah.
I can't believe how much of a bitch they made Vision, though.
They really did.
Like,
but
he
we're not
was
talking about Vision right now. That's later.
But, I mean, they kind of go hand in hand. I mean, I think it's part of the Scarlet Witch is, like, he was like, I'm not fighting. Yeah. I just want to love you.
Yeah. And, I think you're right. I mean, and totally, we are talking about Vision today. And yeah. Kind of goes hand in hand.
So she totally bitched him out. Like, he was
whipped. He was just whipped.
He was OP in Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Even kind of OP in Civil War, and then he's just, like, useless in Infinity War.
Yeah.
Just, like, completely useless.
Pretty much.
Like, you should have just killed him. Off him. If he was going to be that bad, just kill him. Like, cut his head off.
Yeah.
Just dead.
I mean, they basically did.
Thanos was like, hold up, let me put my whole hand in your head. Pull out that stone real quick.
Yeah. In Infinity War, Wanda or Scarlet Witch is used to destroy the Mind Stone in Vision before Thanos can get his hands on it, because they fail to be able to remove it from Vision before he shows up, before Thanos and his army show up. So
the Battle of Wakanda.
Yeah. Wakanda has to destroy it, which took way too long to destroy.
Yeah. I mean, but she's still powerful enough to do it with one hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hold Thanos back.
Yeah, which was impressive. I mean, she's another really, really powerful character that they've really dumbed down. It's just annoying.
Not as much as Vision, though.
No, not as much as Vision.
Like, I don't even want Vision back in Endgame. Do not make him a thing after Endgame.
Yeah. So she destroys it, but ultimately, because Thanos at the time has the Time Stone, just turns time back, takes the stone, and that was the final stone that he needed to complete the decimation. When he does snap his fingers, Scarlet Witch is dusted away.
Could you imagine that? Like, you just killed the love of your life. Thanos is just like, hold up, fam. Turns back time.
If I could turn back time.
Grabs him by the throat, rips his face off. Throws him to the ground. Could you imagine him experiencing that?
I mean, it's a bit traumatizing, I guess.
Like, you just killed your love and then watched him die again.
Wow.
Like, that would suck. And then you die after it.
And it's because of your failure that it happens.
Yeah. And then it's just like, oh, I guess I'll die now.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of a messed up scene.
It's kind of dark.
And then you just watch him fall colorlessly to the ground.
Yeah.
Rest in spaghetti.
So where do you think Scarlet Witch plays, or what kind of role do you think she plays in not just Endgame, but in the Marvel Cinematic Universe moving forward?
I think she'll become more prevalent. Prominent. I mean, if it's true that they go to space in this. Ow. That was my shoulder. If they go to space, I mean, she's powerful enough to go against, like, you know, the bigger things out there.
Galactus?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say that.
Celestials?
Yeah, there we go. That's the word I was trying to think of. But, like, she could, I mean, go on par with them, I guess.
Kang?
That'd be dope. There was something I read. There was... Oh, I can't remember. No, that's racist. I'm not going to say it. Not racist. It's a stereotype. It's the Asian superhero. I can't remember. Shang-Chi, or whatever.
There's rumor that they may try and make him a...
They're trying to fast-track it.
Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not.
But, like, if they go to space afterwards, I don't see why she couldn't be in it. Like, just make her more relevant.
Yeah, I honestly don't think she plays much of a role in Endgame. I think Endgame is going to be more about and focus and centric on the first original six Avengers.
Yeah, it's going to be their going away
party. Captain Marvel. So I think, you know, we're going to see the first original six and Captain Marvel play a role, because the reason why Captain Marvel is going to play such a big role is because she's going to be taking the mantle and carrying the MCU after this movie.
Yeah.
Whereas the other ones are going to be kind of saying goodbye to it.
Yeah, this is their swan song.
Yeah. So that's what I see happening. I think moving forward, I think she'll play a role in it. I think that she's going to be one of those, because of her character and the way she's been, I think that she's going to, if Vision doesn't come back for any reason at all.
Fingers crossed.
She's going to go make herself a recluse for a while because she's going to be like, I failed my love, blah, 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 this and
that. She's going to be the Luke Skywalker of the MCU.
I've lost everybody I loved, you know, lost my brother, lost this, lost that. So I think that that's kind of what she would do, but I think eventually she would be pulled out of it, and I could see somebody like Captain Marvel, you know, Carol, being like, hey, Wanda.
We need you,
bro. We need you, bud, you know.
I am only so OP. I can't be any more OP.
I need another OP woman with me.
Yeah, we're going to do the fusion dance. I'm going to go Super Saiyan. You go Super Saiyan God. We'll try to make it work.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to what they do with Scarlet Witch moving forward, because I think they can do some cool things.
It'd be cool.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about Vision over there, sir.
Vision. When editor Stan Lee and writer Roy Thomas decided to add a new team member to the superheroes team series, The Avengers, Thomas wanted to bring back the Golden Age Vision.
Argus is DC stuff. Sorry.
My bad.
No, that was my fault.
I thought I said it. I do have a lisp. Sometimes. But Lee was set on introducing an android member. Thomas ultimately comprised by using a new android Vision. The second Vision appeared in Avengers number 57. Thomas wanted the character to be white, befitting his ghostly name, but printing limitations of the time would have rendered him colorless, with uninked paper where his skin should be. He settled on red because he didn't want Vision to be green like the Hulk or blue like the Atlanteans. The character has been compared to Spock from Star Trek, but Thomas said that he was barely aware of the TV series at the time. He's acknowledged being influenced by the Adam Link character by Otto Bender. That's a terrible sentence. One of the first robots treated as a sympathetic character rather than a mechanical tool. In the Avengers number 75, the Scarlet Witch is reintroduced to the team and soon becomes a love interest for Vision. Thomas recounted, "I felt that a romance of some sort would help the character's development in the Avengers, and the Vision was a prime candidate because he appeared only in that mag, as well as Wanda, for that matter." I thought you were going to say something. So they became a pair for such practical considerations. I don't know why I can't read today. It would also, I felt, add to the development I was doing for Vision's attempting to become human. Thomas also came up with the idea of the Vision having been created from the body of the Human Torch, but only planted a vague clue to this in Avengers 93 before leaving the series. It was finally followed up in Avengers 134 through 135, writer Steve Englehart explained. That plot was well known in the house for years. And since Roy Thomas and Neil Adams hadn't had a chance to do it, I did it on my watch with Roy's blessing. So he's part of the Human Torch. Fun fact. In comics.
Kind of.
In 1972, the Vision appeared in Spider-Man in Marvel Team-Up number 5, A Passion of the Mind, in which a giant robot scout from the Kree-Skrull War is found to be interfering with Vision's brainwaves.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. You don't really need to keep going.
Yeah.
You don't need all that stuff. But interesting that you brought the Kree-Skrull War, because if it leads that way, like I think is going to happen in because we're going to have the Kree-Skrull War in Captain Marvel. I understand that. But I think that they're going to expand on it and kind of revisit it with Secret Invasion later on in the MCU. I think they're going to have in Secret Invasion, and it's going to lead into another Kral Skrull War. I do believe that. So he may play a role later on in the MCU.
I think that's part of the reason why Captain Marvel was introduced so late, too. Like, oh, this story lines up.
Yeah.
We need something else. Mm-hmm. And she kind of plays a bigger role in that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But, so, I mean, in the movies, he's introduced pretty much the same time as Scarlet Witch in Age of Ultron.
There's about an hour difference.
He's created actually by Ultron, but is also utilizing Stark Industry technology and AI, which is why he sounds like Jarvis. He's not Jarvis, but he sounds like Jarvis. And kind of moves on from there. We do see that he is, at that point in time, he is of pure of heart because he is able to hold and he is worthy enough to hold the Mjolnir, the hammer of Thor. And yeah, he doesn't play, I mean, he plays a big role in Age of Ultron, obviously, but he doesn't really play much of a role, that big of a role moving forward, you know, like he's in Civil War, he takes one side, Wanda takes the other. His side ends up winning, but do they really win?
Yeah, one really came out of that movie as a winner.
Then in Infinity War, you know, like I said, we saw the love between Wanda and him.
And he was somewhat of the MacGuffin.
Yeah, so one of the MacGuffins,
yeah.
In it. So, you know, again, I've liked Vision. I know you haven't been a big fan of him. I understand where you're coming from because they've dumbed him down so much.
Yeah, like he's useless at this point.
So what do you think? Do you think anything comes of it in Endgame? Is he utilized in Endgame at all?
They might be. I mean, they did hint to he's more than just the stone in Infinity War, so maybe they piece him together.
Maybe.
I mean, they do have... Well, they don't have Stark. Maybe at some point in time in the movie, maybe. Because there's going to be a moment where all the Avengers are back together.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's going to be a moment.
Well, I mean, there's been a rumor that all the characters in the MCU, all the heroes... will be together on screen at one time.
That's going to be cool.
In the movie.
So, I mean, maybe, just for that.
Yeah.
Because he is a hero.
Yeah, you know, there's
if you want to call him that.
I mean, there's that rumor that the footage that they shot for the Wakanda fight that they showed in the trailers that wasn't used in the movies, some people believe that that is actually part of Endgame.
Yeah, with the Hulk running?
Yeah, that we're going to go back to that battle again, but we're going to see it differently where the Hulk is the Hulk and, you know, like there's a bunch of people there fighting that weren't there before and they're doing it differently and better than they did the last time, which makes sense because if they go back in time, let's say there is time travel, they go back in time, change some things and they come back and yet I think no matter what, they're going to have to face off against Thanos again.
Yeah. I mean, that's inevitable. Sense.
I think that would be cool if that's what they did.
Yeah, like, the last stand at Wakanda.
So there's trailers that we're getting for Infinity War were really, well, you're going to see that, but later.
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of cool. And they wouldn't be wrong that it was part of Infinity War because technically it was, but not. Damn time travel.
I can't wait.
I know.
Like.
I can't wait either. So yeah, I mean, that's fun. Next week, I believe it's next week, I am going to cover the... Captain Marvel and people like that. Let's just double check here so everybody knows what to expect next week. Next week? No, not next week. Next week is going to be your favorite episode with Hawkeye, Ant-Man, and Wasp.
God! Come on!
It'll be the week after where we talk about Nick Fury and Maria Hill and Captain Marvel. Only because I want to give that week... a little more than a week time for people to have a chance to go see the movie.
Yeah, go see it and process it.
Exactly. I don't want to spoil it for people.
Yeah, because if you're seeing it like Monday morning and I'm seeing it Saturday night, like you're still going to have a lot to process.
Yeah. So, and I honestly might push Captain Marvel herself back if I feel like it's, you know, we can't spoil. Like if it's if I see something that's like, this is too spoilery.
Can't. Like they literally lead right into Endgame at the end. Like
I might push it back a week or two.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Which is an understanding.
And I could easily swap Black Widow and Captain Marvel out to put Black Widow with Fury Hill and Black Widow. It would still make sense.
Yeah. Because, I mean, she's going to have. Black Widow really isn't going to be all that relevant.
No, I mean, she's been pretty relevant.
I mean, but it's just because it's Scarlett Johansson. Scarlett Johansson's pretty cool.
So I do want to show you something that I just saw on the internet here, and
I'm glad that this is an audio show.
It's going to be a first reaction.
Okay. Okay. What the fuck?
So we got We've gotten our first look
at the
live action Sonic the Hedgehog.
What the hell? I mean, it's still better than I thought it would be, but oh my god. What is this?
If you can, go to polygon.com, look up Sonic the Hedgehog live-action movie leak.
I just puked in my mouth.
Now, they're saying that this may not be the final design because thanks to an advertising agency's branding deck for the Paramount Pictures film, this is what we've gotten. But it looks a little more cartoony than I would like. But then again, this may not be the final product. However, that's what he's going to probably
look like. Why does he
look
like he's 2D in that one and 3D in the other one? That doesn't even make sense.
They don't know what they're doing with this
movie. Oh my god.
You know what sucks? I was just giving a lot of credit to Tom Cavanaugh being in The Flash. He's in this movie. Come on, Tom Cavanaugh.
There's roles you can turn down, my guy. Don't do this to your career. Everybody that's involved in this, don't do it to your career.
Just back away.
Just let it burn. Don't back away. Don't do it.
It looks bad.
It looks real bad.
It looks really bad.
Oh god. Why? You might as well just given us another Mario movie. At least now we have the technology for it.
Really?
Yeah. Where Bowser can look like Bowser. Get some Koopa Troopas.
I wouldn't mind seeing a live-action Mario, Super Mario. I think they're hardly doing one.
Are they?
I thought they were doing one.
Yeah, I don't know. Give me some Goombas.
Goombas.
Get a bunch of midgets
This is what they need to do. And I'm not even kidding. Remake Mario 64 into a movie.
I don't see why not. It would be awesome.
It would be.
You don't even have to worry about a script or anything. Like, it's there.
I mean, yeah, you have to worry about a script, but I think it works best because it's just an interesting concept of going into the pictures and going into the levels that way. You can easily explain that with some kind of magic in Mushroom Kingdom somehow. You still have the princess taken by Bowser. You then don't make it Bowser that you he faces multiple times before getting, but make it, a couple smaller enemies. I just think it would be good fun.
The Bowser kids.
And what would be cool is maybe at some point, like the end of the movie or post-credit scene or mid-credit scene, it's the introduction of Luigi for a sequel.
That'd be cool.
Come on. Let's write it. Let's do it. You and I.
The mid-credit scene's actually 3 minutes long. It's the original Donkey Kong game.
It's no
live action.
No. What it is, it's the last few minutes. Mario's out and about, like outside the front of the castle, and just kind of like doing some cleanup, and a pipe opens up and boop, 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 it comes up. He's like, huh, what's this? He gets in it. It's a cannon. It shoots him on top of the castle.
Exactly.
He finds Yoshi and Luigi sitting up there.
Yeah, boom. You have yourself a sequel.
Boom!
Okay, actually, you can make an anthology off of that, because now you have a Luigi movie, Luigi's Mansion.
Oh, God.
Right there. Boom.
Come on. This stuff writes itself.
Come on, Hollywood. Give us the time of day.
Why are people contacting us about this stuff?
Give us the time of day to rewrite video games, damn it.
Animes, video games, cartoons. We'll do it, and it'll be good. People will like it. People will like it, I guarantee.
Yeah.
We won't do this to Sonic.
Yeah, no. Sonic looks... Don't do that. We won't do that.
No.
I don't think anybody should do that.
No.
Who's the actors? We should get IMDb Plus or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And just start contacting actors like, please tell them to back out. Please. Stop it.
Yeah.
Start a petition against it. Stop this Sonic movie. What's sad is we're both going to see that when it comes out.
Yeah.
That's what's sad. Yeah. Because you have it on your list. I'm just seeing it for the curiosity of how bad it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be released on like a Tuesday. That's when they should release it. Like, no one cares when it comes out on a Tuesday.
All right. Well, I think that's it. That was a fun episode.
Sorry we ended on a low note.
Yeah, sorry about the Sonic the Hedgehog stuff.
God, that's so bad.
Yeah, it's bad. that. But make sure you check out Colton's Gaming Corner this week. It will be out this week. It's going to be awesome. Make sure you check out the Phantom Vibe. We have a few Star Wars episodes called Shooting the Sith out there. Listen to those. They're a lot of fun. We have some cool talk on there. You can actually find them on our feed right now. I did throw them on our feed this week, but we have some other ones out there as well. That is where you're going to find it all the time. What we're going to start doing is we're going to be putting them on Phantom Vibe first, and then after a week or two, we will be throwing them on Bridging the Geekdom, so everybody still gets a chance. But if you want to be hearing it first, plus a bunch of other cool stuff, such as the news show and the little behind the scenes kind of stuff with, or not behind the scenes, but getting to know certain characters before their movies come out, you can check out the Phantom Vibe. It's a lot of fun.
Be what it do.
Shout out to John Horsley and Spoiler Country. Great show. Keep it up. He's been really pushing his new comic book, The Ainz Anthology. It has reached its goal of, what was it, $4,500 or was it $4,000?
Something like that. It was around there.
Yeah, it was like $4,000. Hit his goal. Not only that, but he has surpassed it. It has now hit $5,000 for his Kickstarter for this, and it is so exciting. I cannot wait for this book to come out. We will have something special planned for all of you in regards to the Ainz Anthology after it comes out, so make sure you stay tuned and listen to us for that. But this has been Bridging the Geekdoms. I'm Robert.
I'm your boy.
And we will talk at you next week.
Bye. I love you.